Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
Is everybody getting sick again? I thought we went through this. I went through, guys, I was sick for weeks. Didn't make any sense. I got sick in like December, and then I was fine for like an hour, and then I was sick for January, February. It was terrible. The throat and the cough, it was, and now all I'm hearing about is, God, this is going around, and strep throat is going around. I don't know, maybe this only happens when you have kids. I now am at the point of wondering whether or not this is always the conversation, but people give it some new level of gravity in their life because COVID. Oh, wait, do we not whisper COVID like we whisper cancer? Because very often it gets whispered. I don't think you should whisper anything. But I think people are getting worked up. I'm just curious. Are people getting sick again? Is there something? Is it objectively been a worse season for colds, flus, etc. than years past? Tony Katz today. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. You can email me, Tony@TonyKatz.com. The phone number, 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. I do not know. I absolutely don't know. What I know is that it's undoubtedly true that I got sick, got better, and got sick again. And the total amount of times that has happened in my life, in my entire life, one. One. It was this. Super crazy. Not as crazy, because there's still more coming out from the testimony of Robert Hur, the special counsel, speaking for the Judiciary Committee. And it's nuts. Of course, this was the special counsel report on Joe Biden, the classified documents, where it's very clear Joe Biden had classified documents he wasn't entitled to have because he was a vice president or a senator, not president. It's very obvious that he meant to have the classified documents. It is very obvious that his drug-addled son at least had the opportunity to have access to these documents. And it is very obvious that the special counsel, Robert Hur, last name H-U-R, is being clear that if it weren't for Joe Biden's memory issues, I would have brought charges. That's how I took his testimony today. That's how I take what Robert Hur has said. That there is no exoneration. As a matter of fact, he has had to fight members of Congress, Democrats, claiming that there is exoneration. That's not the word he used. And he was very clear about this. He said, I looked at the case. I looked at the defendant, Joe Biden, and I said, no one's going, there's no way anybody's going to say this guy is guilty. Not because he isn't involved in some level of impropriety, because he's a really nice old guy with a poor memory. We all read that in the report. We said, oh, look at that. Someone honest in Washington. That's what we said. I've got more to get into on this because what I think is really happening here and where the divide is, the mistakes that get made. But check this out from KF Steve. This is Congressman Steve Cohen. I call him KF Steve because there was one time that Congressman Cohen, he was going to prove, he was how anti-Trump he was. And so he was eating quite literally from a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken on the House floor. The only redeeming quality I have found in Steve Cohen is that at the State of the Union, he wore a sign on him. It was a piece of tape and it said 153, which referred to the 153 days that hostages have been kept by Hamas. I respected that. I did. This, however,
It appears to me, and I think it would appear to the American public, that these minor discrepancies, as far as dates and after a long period of time, was not the basis. It was not the basis for your decision to decline to prosecute. It was the fact that you didn't have the facts, that he acted differently than Trump, that he voluntarily provided the documents, that he complied with the Justice Department, that he didn't try to obstruct justice. Those were the reasons you didn't prosecute him, not because he missed a few dates.
Congressman, my reasons for my declination decision are set out in my report, and I stand by the words in the report, sir.
Well, thank you. And I think I'm encompassing them in my what I'm saying to you is that it was not anything to do with his memory why he wasn't chosen to be you chose not to indict him. It was the difference in the facts in the case and how he dealt with it. The fact is, Mr. Biden sat through 5 hours, and he did an admirable job. And he did an outstanding job in the State of the Union, laying out the case for the future of America, for the middle class, for the free, for democracy around the world, for standing up to the Russians.
The State of the Union was terrible, and he screamed at America for over an hour. But what a statement. You didn't prosecute him because of he did it differently than Trump? And he says, my reasons for my declination decision are set out in my report, and I stand by the words in the report, sir. The words in the report would align themselves with, he's just a nice old man with a poor memory, and nobody was going to, you know, convict this guy, if you will. The spin is remarkable. Incredible. There are some other things going on in the world and worthy of sharing. And one of those things was the FBI stating in front of a Senate Intelligence Committee that the threats at the border are massive. There's a wide array of dangerous threats coming to the U.S. border, including drug trafficking, violent gangs, smugglers, and those with ties to ISIS. No crap. The only person, it would seem, who doesn't know this is Joe Biden. Because the rest of us are fully aware of the problems at the border. And the issues and what's happening with illegal immigration and exactly how incredibly dangerous it all is. From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border. And that includes everything from drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. How is that not enough to get Republicans and Democrats to say, I'm sorry, did you say 270 million Americans? Yeah. Let's just pass three pieces of legislation right now. Boom, boom, and boom. Not tied to funding for Ukraine, not tied to funding for Israel, not tied to funding for Taiwan. Boom, boom, and boom. Let's get the wall built. Let's get the technology right now. Good. All right, done. You could do it in an hour. Enough fentanyl to kill 270 million Americans and our Congress.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.
Good God. Yeah, that's frightening. That's absolutely frightening. We have said it so many times, but it is always worth repeating. The southern border is the biggest story in America. End of list. Nothing even comes close. This, from this hearing, saying, and he's, and I'm quoting here, I'm quoting Ray, I want to be a little bit careful how far I can go in open session. But there's a particular network that where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about and that we've been spending enormous amounts of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that, again, is the subject of our current investigation. If I were you, I'd be flat out concerned. I'd be outrageously worried. The border continues to be the issue. The border is dangerous. The border is porous. And every day we're told that things are just fine. We're lied to. At this stage, it's just, it is clear and obvious lies. I think we should do something about it. And November can't come soon enough. I'm Tony Katz. So it seems that England was listening to my conversation about the state of Maine and children involved in gender surgeries and, yes, puberty blockers. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Anybody who says that a puberty blocker isn't something that's going to have lasting effects. Oh, you can just reverse it easily. Lies. Lies, and you're endangering children, and you're disgusting for doing so. England agrees with me. Children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics in England. They have made this change. Why? Science is real. Boys are not girls, and girls are not boys. Science is real, and puberty blockers have forever effects. You don't just stop taking them and everything goes back to normal. That is not how it works. So good on the UK for making this happen. And good on Senator John Fetterman. That's right. Senator John Fetterman, for being rational for stating quite clearly Israel has the right to fully engage Hamas to its end. Hamas deliberately harms and hides behind civilians, not Israel, until Hamas surrenders, frees the hostages, and ends this humanitarian tragedy. I do not support any conditions. And what is he talking about? Biden could condition aid for Israel after a Rafah invasion. John, progressive Democrat Fetterman.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
It's hard to comprehend. Not siding with the rest of his anti-Semitic party. And let me just say, for the Jews who are members of the Democratic Party elected officials, what a bunch of cowards. You won't stand up against Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar or Ocasio Cortez or Ayanna Pressley. You won't yell in their face how disgusting they are. What other term besides coward? Fetterman is not a coward. Oh, so many people angry with John Fetterman. Screw it. They're angry. We're right. They're wrong. Let's fight. I'll take the connection. I'll take the help wherever I can get it. If I can get it from Fetterman, I'll take it. By the way, on this subject, you know what the UNRWA is? So this is the United Nations Relief Works Agency. And they work with Palestinian refugees. They
President Biden calling
were
Prime
caught.
Minister
Netanyahu. Sorry about that. They were caught aiding Hamas. Members of this agency, a UN agency, were aiding Hamas in their terrorist attack. Now, this agency is put out a report that says that some of its workers were pressured by Israel to falsely admit their connections to the October 7th attack by Hamas. Quote, agency staff members have been subject to threats and coercion by the Israeli authorities while in detention and pressured to make false statements against the agency, including that the agency has affiliations with Hamas and that UNRWA staff members took part in the 7 October 2023 atrocities. Anybody who believes in funding the United Nations is out of their head. And the conversation is, should we remain a part of it, right? I can hear you. Should we remain a part of it? I have argued before that you keep your friends close, you keep your enemies closer. And I have argued before that there is a value to being able to see what these people are doing and expose it. The problem is that when you have an administration that has so many of its members who align with this kind of evil, you give credibility to a bigotry. So yes, I would be fine with the United States pulling out of the United Nations, saying, you know what? We're done here. As a matter of fact, get out of New York. And why don't we turn this into condos? You think we can turn this into condos? We should turn this into condos. Let's turn this into condos. We could, this is some nice real estate right here. So I have not been like that. I mean, I have said so in passing. I'll forget this. Who needs this? But in a real detailed conversation, it's got to go. We have to be done. These people are liars and they are frauds and they are siding at all times with the most horrific elements. Let's start fresh. Let's start anew. Starting anew is Congressman Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado, who has been ridiculous in some of his votes recently. Well, he has said that he's not going to run for re-election. Now he's announcing he's leaving Congress at the end of next week. You may see Democrats control the House before the year is out. You may see it. The ever slimming majority of the Republicans gets ever slimmer. I don't think this is so much a conversation about Speaker Mike Johnson. I don't. I do think that somewhere that Kevin McCarthy sits back and laughs. I do think that's true. But man, it is getting tougher for the Republicans every single second. Every second, it's getting tougher. And some people are like, good, glad he's gone. He has not been a perfect vote, and I have said so. On many subjects, you could argue it'd be a reliable vote. And maybe you don't want to have a situation where, is it special election? Is there appointment from the governor? How does this work? You don't want to have that and have the issue. It's going to be a fascinating 9 months to Election Day. But of course, the big story today is the testimony of the special counsel, Robert Hur. And there's a story to remember. And it has nothing to do with what progressives are talking about. It has to do with what you're talking about at the kitchen table. Biden's age is a story, which means Trump age is a story. I've got that coming up. This is Tony Katz today.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad you have such information, such admiration for the president that you allowed him to take the first 10 minutes of this hearing. Mr. Chairman, House Republicans may be desperate to convince America that white conservative men are on the losing end of a two-tiered justice system, a theory that appeals to the MAGA crowd but has no basis in reality. But your comments today make me wonder if you have read the special counsel's report at all. Her report does help us draw a distinction between President Biden and Donald Trump, just not the one you want.
That's Gerald Nadler with a... well, I guess a perfectly progressive opening there, as Robert Hur, the special counsel, he's talking to the House committee, the Judiciary Committee, Tony Katz today, and Democrats are all over the fact that no criminal charges came forward.
And offered complete and unhesitating cooperation with the special counsel's investigation. The Justice Department and the National Archives were proactively notified of the classified documents, and they were turned over. The president allowed the FBI to search his homes, and he sat for a voluntary interview for more than 5 hours on October 8th and October 9th, even as he was busy responding to Hamas's vicious terrorist attack in Israel.
Funny, Jamie Raskin would say that in a committee hearing, but he won't say that to fellow Democrats who are supportive of Hamas. Tony Katz today. What up, boo-boo? Schmoopy, kitten. I don't know. I got some other ones in there. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. The argument Jamie Raskin, Representative Raskin, is making, who's a terrible guy, the argument Gerald Nadler's making, these aren't arguments. The question before us is, what do you mean, Special Counsel Robert Hur, last name H-U-R, Hur, that Joe Biden was too old to take the stand? What do you mean by this? What do you mean that he was a feeble old man, that he'd be such a sympathetic character because he's old and he doesn't remember things and he's got a bad memory and he doesn't remember this date, doesn't remember that date? That's the conversation. The Hur report is not a conversation about Trump. I get what Hur said in the report, saying Trump obstructed justice. I get the argument that you're making, Democrats. But it isn't the story. One should honestly address the situation exactly as we are right now, but not as Jamie Raskin does, because Jamie Raskin doesn't know how to be honest. Jamie Raskin is terrible. I would tell him to his face. Glad, I only hope you beat cancer, but now could you beat being a jerk? That would be wonderful as well. If you want to take Hur's report, Special Counsel Hur's report, looking into Joe Biden classified documents, that's what it was about, and say, look at all the things he said about Trump, then you are de facto saying that the report has value. And if the report has value, let us take a look at all of it. I am not interested in the cherry picking of a report. The Mueller report stated that this idea of Trump collusion and everything else was total nonsense, which it was. It was nothing more than a Hillary Clinton fever dream. That's all Russia, Russia, Russia ever was. But should we somehow not pay attention to how Russia tries to interfere with elections in the United States? What a foolhardy thing to do. How ridiculous it is to not look at this and say, what do we do to safeguard elections? To ensure the sanctity of elections? That, to me, is the rational course. That's what reasonable people do. And man, we are missing out on some reasonable people. But Hur took the stand today. There, yeah, take the stand. He appears in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And of course, the conversation about Joe Biden and his documents is front and center, and he took the oath, did Robert Hurt.
True and correct, to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief, so help you God. Let the record reflect that the witness has answered in the affirmative. Thank you, and you can be seated. Please know that you're...
So, he testifies. The report is the conversation. Well, that is, the report is the thing that blew the conversation wide open regarding Biden's age. Biden's age, of course, is a story and will continue to be, just like Donald Trump's age is a story and will continue to be. To think that somehow these things can be separated. Well, Biden's age is an issue, but Trump's age isn't. It's only a couple years difference. And certainly one could have an issue with Trump's age going forward because things don't necessarily get better. Now, do they? Again, one of the reasons I have said we could have had DeSantis. It's one of the things that's going to be there to make Trump a tough lift for a general election. Biden's a tougher lift. He is. Biden is a tougher lift. It's why I discussed the fact that, you know, if you think that Biden's going to be the nominee, you're nuts, because the left knows. They know he's a tough lift, and they're not going to go down this road because this report was indeed damning. It doesn't matter what Nadler discusses about white conservative men on the losing end of a two-tier justice system. What is he talking about? It's meaningless. It's just progressive pablum. Then there was this from Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York.
I believe, as is his habit, that President Biden probably committed a verbal slip or two during the interview. And I'm not sure any of that matters, because when the interview was over, Mr. Herr completely exonerated President Biden.
Of course it matters. As a matter of fact, that's the whole story. First, it wasn't a verbal slip. We're not discussing, by the way, verbal slip? I don't even know, is that the way it's described? It isn't that he had a gaffe. That's not it. It's that the special counsel referred to him as a feeble old man. And if he's too old to take the stand, is he too old to be president? That is the conversation. Have it over the dinner table tonight. Have it with friends on a bar stool tonight. If you want to make the statement that this is all about, we see what Trump did is really criminal, what Biden did isn't criminal, I would say to you, you're more than welcome to say it, that isn't actually what the special counsel report's all about. It's about Biden being too old. It's about Biden being too old. And America knows it. Now, it'd be a lot easier if Trump didn't have any gaffes and Trump wasn't referring to Nikki Haley and as Nancy Pelosi and all that. It'd be a lot easier. Don't get me wrong. But as you get all of this about the hearing and all your social media feeds, don't lose sight of the basics. Don't lose sight of the reality. It is about Biden's age. It is about Biden's inability to recollect. It is about his inability to carry on a conversation. I have gone back to watch the State of the Union, and allow me to state for the record that the people making the argument that Biden had a great State of the Union, these people are ridiculous. And that includes Jon Stewart, who wanted to tell you what an excellent State of the Union it was. My gosh, it was the best. It was terrific. You never heard anything as good in your entire life. How could you? It was just masterful. Is that right?
Politics. The State of the Union address last Thursday night. Joseph Raisinette Biden the 12th. He had the unenviable task of having to lay out his vision for the nation whilst also demonstrating that he is not too old, not too tired to be the president of the United States, and that he wouldn't rather just tie thousands of balloons to the White House and head to Paradise Falls. And so, President Biden entered the House chamber, navigating through our divided Congress and barely getting past the bridge troll who guards the podium. What say you, sir?
I say to the American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up. My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away. Banning books, it's wrong. I say, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Pass universal background checks.
It's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of yelling. Oh, sure, Jon Stewart told his jokes. I mean, Jon Stewart can be funny. Don't get me wrong. Jon Stewart has made me laugh out loud before. Just not in this. Screaming, as Joe Biden did, is not a sign of being on top of it. It's not a sign of youthful exuberance. It's not. It was a sign of trying to overcompensate. Just like all those people, whether it be Jon Stewart or Joe Scarborough, who tried to tell you what a great job Biden did in the State of the Union.
Send me the border bill now. The state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
Which one of you wants to fight? Put up your dukes. Biden's back, baby. I know that all the haters have been out there talking their sh**. He's too old. He's too weak. He can't make it. He won't be able to stand. Oh, I see you haters. I know who you are.
Joe Biden's age is the only story. Well, his mental acuity is the only story. Well, the southern border is the only story. All right, there's a lot of only stories. But the desperation to try and tell America that, no, no, he's young, he's spry, he can do this, he's ready. It's desperation. As if somehow Americans don't see with their own eyes. Americans heard what it is Special Counsel Robert Hur had to say in his report, and the idea of the classified documents, which does matter, we should look at, is a separate story. The story is Joe's too old to take the stand. Joe is too old for questioning. So how is he not too old for the presidency? Democrats want to argue that Robert Hur, the special counsel, exonerated Biden because of the classified documents. They can. But that is not what America's talking about. And it would be great if we could all talk about the same thing. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today. So consumer prices are a little up, and the market's like, screw it. Let's go, baby. It's the disconnect between Midwest Main Street and Wall Street never ceases to amaze. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. What's going on? Holy. Holy cow. I mean, look, the markets are going to go up and they're going to go down, and certainly everything can end. But like I was looking at them before the show, and the Dow was up over 250. And you're like, did I miss something here? Consumer prices going up 0.4% in February, 3.2% higher from a year ago. The core, which excludes food and energy, is up 3.8% on the year. But because they were close to in line, or at least the core CPI and the whole consumer price index, the market's like, that's cool. Besides, it doesn't matter because Nvidia, you know, they make the graphics cards. They're doing so great, it'll carry everything else. It's like they don't care. It's super weird. I can't do this math. You take a look. I'm taking a look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics right now. All items, which include food and energy, which they consider volatile, 3.2%. It was 0.4% for the month of February, higher than the month of January, which was higher than the month of December, which was higher than the month of October. November and December were flat. So it's on its way back up. Food, all items, food, energy, all of it costs more. 3.2% year over year. But if you take all items less food and energy, which is called the core, that's up 3.8%. Look at the trend line. By the way, it was 0.4% in January, 0.4% in February. 3.8, look at the trend line. This doesn't say that prices are going down. It doesn't get close to saying prices are going down. So what does one take from this? I'm supposed to feel good about this economy. I'm supposed to feel good about what it is that's coming over the course of the next year. No. I'm not doing this. I'm going to continue to say what it is I have always said. The data says to me, not an expert, the data says to me, this isn't good. The markets are acting like everything's fine. Should I even discuss where crypto is? I don't own Bitcoin. I don't own enough Bitcoin to count. I mean, I own fractional amounts of Bitcoin. Hitting over 73,000? Good gosh. I mean, it's something else. Is that supposed to now make everyone feel like there are so many other opportunities? Or is that going up because people are looking at these market-based opportunities, looking at the economy and saying, dear God, I want no part of this whatsoever. I want no part of this. That's my take. That people recognize that this economy is bad, that it is affecting small business owners, it's affecting everyday Americans. That's what the numbers tell me. And it's not just because I'm looking at them, it's because I'm living it like you are. My dollar costs less, my dollar brings me less. And I don't think it gets better. As I said, I'm not expecting interest rates to go down. I think the people dreaming about that are just dreaming. Find everything going on at TonyKatz.com. And of course, email me, Tony@TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.